Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Please do, we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to the Everything Ashcast for the week of May 12th, 2014. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us today, we have Joe.
Good day.
And Chris.
Good evening.
So, let's get right into the show, guys, because it's like news apocalypse happening this week. And we're recording early, it's still news apocalypse happening. So, let's get right into it with some trailers. And last week we got another brand new full-length trailer for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And I don't know about you guys, but that instantly brought it up to like must-watch status after watching the
Apes. Yeah, I'm definitely trailer. More excited about it than I was.
Because this one basically gives you the full, like, sort of what the hell's happening, and it's just going to be, like, full-on human-ape war. That possibly Kerry Russell and Jason Clarke are going to stop, or try to stop. But then Gary Oldman is going to, like, warmonger everyone to, like, fight the apes.
Oh, Gary.
But yeah, it looks, I mean, it looks freaking amazing, like,
It's like Terminator Salvation, but with apes.
Yeah, and probably, and hopefully better than Terminator Salvation.
And hopefully much better.
Yeah. Did you see it, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you
think? Just, like, it's nice to see a post-apocalyptic movie that isn't just, like, a desolate wasteland. Like, it seems like there's still vegetation, there's still, like, all this life, it's just, it's not human life.
Yeah, I think it's picking up 4 years after Rise. Where, like, 90% of humans have been killed by the simian flu. They got unleashed during the credits of Rise.
That would have been awesome to see, but we're just, don't worry. Just see some other movie between then.
Yeah, it sucks for the people who are like, well, that was good, and got up and, like, left.
Yeah.
And now they're going to be, like, real confused.
Or just thought it was, like, some, like, just random design happening during the credits.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's pretty.
Yeah. Look at that light flashing around to what look like countries. I don't know. And it's gonna be directed by Matt Reeves, who directed Cloverfield.
Ooh. Anything else on his resume, or is that
he directed the?
Is this the only work he's gotten since then?
That Let the Right One In remake.
Okay. All right. That was competent, but.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I think Godzilla's still. Most anticipated. I'm sure everyone's seen it by the time you hear this, or hopefully we'll be seeing it sometime in your future, like we will be. But yeah, I put this probably like top five, definitely maybe top three now.
Yeah,
it's like Godzilla, this, and Guardians probably. I'm sure there's a bunch of other stuff that's coming out this summer that I can't remember right now, but
I don't know, man. I'm still pretty. Goddamn excited for 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, I mean, as far as comedies go, yeah, that.
Yeah.
And then the other trailer came out today when we're recording this, is the first trailer for VHS Viral, which is VHS 3. Which, you know, Joe, you recently talked about and you're a fan of those movies, especially 2.
Yes, indeed.
Did you get a chance to see the VHS Viral trailer?
I actually didn't get to see it, but I'm very excited to see it. And unless it looks like just goddamn terrible, which I don't think it does, or I would have heard about it by now. You know, even if it's more of the same, as long as it's picking up with the improvements that 2 made, I'll be very, very happy.
Well, I guess they're going to continue the, book ending story. And I guess the tapes are going to get uploaded to the internet. Or that's like kind of the thing of like, the tapes are going viral now.
That's very, very cool.
And some of the stories are going to be, there's one is about a crazy magician.
Oh, nice.
There's a, like an evil, some sort of evil group tracking a serial killer. there's a bunch of skateboarding teens who get caught up in, like, a Mexican death ritual.
Whoa.
This is what happens.
And I think one more, possibly. Like, some sort of, like, someone creates, like, a way to, like, an alternate dimension.
Hmm. Okay. It sounds kind of like a Treehouse of Horrors a little bit. Like, lots of
crazy different things.
Yeah. Right, right. Because it's like, oh, well, this person, like, you know, opens a portal to another dimension where Flanders is the devil or, like,
yeah.
You know, something nutty like that.
Yeah, the trailer is just, like, horror orgy of imagery happening. Of, like, here's a alien and here's a werewolf and here's a zombie, maybe, and then, like, blood splattering everywhere and, like, someone getting slammed into the ceiling and exploding and... secured its release partner at Cannes. So it should be coming out. Probably, usually what the other ones did is they hit, like, the festival circuit first, and then they, like, I don't think it went to Sundance, but definitely, like, South by Southwest, a couple other festivals. And then they hit Video On Demand / DVD / Blu-ray, so that's probably what VHS Viral will do.
Yeah,
so probably, cool. I would say probably maybe late this year or maybe next year. Yeah, but I mean, looks
whenever we'll be ready.
Yeah, it looks as crazy as like the other ones. So I guess it looks like they have some interesting directors like Nacho Vigalondo, who directed Time Crimes.
That's a good movie.
Which was a crazy movie. He's doing that weird like. That movie that takes place entirely on, like, Elijah Wood's computer. I don't know, have you guys seen the trailer? It's like, I think it's like Windows or something, or some sort of thing. It's like...
Internet snuff?
Elijah Wood's like watching...
That's some good snuff.
Yeah. Well, it's like Elijah Wood's... Yeah, it's basically all... it takes place all on, like, Elijah Wood's laptop screen. He's watching, like, I guess it's Elijah Wood and Sasha Gray starring in it. And then, so he's watching Sasha Gray... And then there's some sort of, like, he sees, like, someone trying to break into her house or something. Or, like, something's happening. He's trying, like, he has to figure out a way to, like, warn her before she gets murdered.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you're Sasha Gray. And, like, all this shit just happens to you.
Yeah.
This movie came out last year, right?
I think it's hitting, like, festivals this year. So I think it's coming out, like, maybe, like, Video On Demand or something later this year.
See, I'm going to say, like, 2013 was the year of, like... people terrorizing Elijah Wood.
or him terrorizing people.
Yeah.
I think Nacho Vigalondo also had like a weird like alien invasion comedy horror thing. It was like everyone was like, oh man, it's his follow-up to Time Crimes. It's like nothing like Time Crimes.
Like, man, I wish there was like something related to Time Crimes. That movie leaves you with so many questions.
You should watch Well, if you want like, something kind of similar, you should watch Triangle.
Okay, I might.
Which is like it's got Liam Hemsworth and some other people, and they're like they're sailing and they find like this cruise ship and they end up on the cruise ship and then it's like just all sorts of weird time stuff happens. So anyway, it's for trailers. So other news that hit. This week and last week. Sad news is that H.R. Giger, the legendary... or is it Giger? Anyone know how to pronounce his last name?
I always said Giger.
Mm-hmm.
But,
it might be Giger. I don't know.
Someone should be Giger. Yeah. He was Swedish, right?
Yeah, Swedish.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Say Giger.
But yeah, okay. So... I mean, legendary just artist, concept artist... designer, whatever, all of his other titles. He passed away.
Visionary pornographer.
Kind of, I mean...
Yeah, no, he had a lot of,
weird...
Like, hell porn going on.
Yeah. Original idea for, like, Alien Resurrection. If you saw any of those.
Oh my god, the thing with the giant, like, genitals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he passed away this week, I think, it was like he fell off of something.
Yeah, he fell down his stairs, and I mean, he was in his 70s, right?
Yeah.
So I guess Yeah, so I guess when you take a bad fall down a flight of stairs when you're in your 70s, it doesn't always end too well. Apparently he died from, like, complications from those injuries.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
sad, but, you know.
And then, I mean, obviously he designed the aliens from Alien, or the Xenomorphs, so...
True, yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, that's, like, one of the greatest... creations of all time. So
well, it's. I think it's the single most recognizable piece of sci-fi that we have. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than like Darth Vader, you know, outside of like Star Wars, if we're talking sci-fi,
yeah,
I don't think it gets much more recognizable than like the look of the alien,
mm-hmm.
the Xenomorph from the Alien series. You know,
and I believe he did. He I think he helped with Prometheus as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Those are all his designs, too. Mm. Or at least, I know he at least, like, consulted on it, because it was entirely based off of his shit.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't him actually designing it, he was definitely getting, you know, a cut of the action.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so, because, I mean, there are pictures, you know, and you know, guys, if you're, and girls listening to this, like, you could definitely look it up, or if you don't already have the, you know, Alien, like, Blu-rays or collector's editions or whatever... with some of the like set production stuff, like that stuff was like carved out, you know, that wasn't like drawings on a wall. Like
yeah.
That was some, really like labor intensive stuff. So that took a lot of talent, and it was actually him doing it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just him like delegating it to a series of like college interns.
And he also had, I'm sure you've seen this, Joe, his proposed, Batmobile for Batman Forever.
Oh boy.
That was like...
That thing was a monster with all the tubes and shit going in and out of it.
Yeah.
They actually wound up using, most of that for, the next Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
For the, Batman and Robin one.
Yeah, it kind of looked like some sort of, like, if Batman killed, like, some sort of starfish alien and, like, turned into a Batmobile. Like, he killed Starro or something.
Yeah, no, it was very, very, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange. And it looked, if I remember correctly, it looked like someone drew it in, like, crayon or something.
Yeah. There's only, like...
Like, I know they had a few different concept pieces for it, but, yeah, it was pretty much very rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting, but if you look at the shape of it, it basically is the Batmobile from Batman and Robin. They just filled out that first, like the front of it. They actually put, like, an engine and more, like, conventional stuff in there, so it looked more like an actual, like, car.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it wound up looking like a weird, like, hot rod that was shaped like an hourglass. It was very strange.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, speaking of Batmobiles...
Oh.
Probably the biggest thing that's gonna hit this week, is that we got our first look at the Batman vs. Superman, Ben Affleck, Batmobile, and Batsuit.
Boy, did we.
Which, you can check those out on our Facebook page, or on everythingaction.com, or on our Tumblr, or on our Twitter. Pretty much everything. It's blown up the internets today, when we're recording. Joe, what'd you think, since you're our Batman expert?
All right, well, get some snacks, guys. No, you know, I'll try to keep it short and sweet, or at least, you know, I'll say that I'll try to keep it short and sweet. But, you know, I, at the risk of sounding like an even bigger nerd than I actually am, you know, after digesting it for a couple of hours, you know, looking at it and all the different lights with all the different, like, mods and everything on it, because, you know, every website out there was like, we have 8x optical zoom, and we have it with, like, this filter on, and, like, we've got the clearest picture. So after looking at all that stuff and just kind of letting it sit for a while, you know, I actually went onto my personal Twitter account, and as cheesy as this sounds, like, I thanked Zack Snyder, because it took balls to release, or to, you know, put that Batman out there. Because, guys, like, for my money, I would say this is, at least the way it looks right now, the Batman of the comics that we know and love. It looks like a very heavy New 52 influence, if it isn't just the New 52 suit outright.
Mm-hmm.
just come to life, man. I mean, I think it's fucking brilliant. And the picture itself that was released was moody and it was dark. It got the point across. I mean, Batman looks like... I mean, Chris, you said something really funny. You said he's got a face that says, like, I dropped my keys. But, like, he looks, like, visually, like, pissed and sad and alone, like, all at the same time. And maybe I'm reading into it a little bit too much, but I just think that the mood that they captured in that, like, dank, like, steamy, shadowy, like, warehouse was...
Detroit that he's in.
On Detroit's finest piece of real estate development. Yeah, I think it was just perfect. And I think a lot of people have just totally skipped over the Batmobile, and rightfully so, because obviously seeing Ben Affleck, you know, Academy Award winner Ben Affleck as Batman is a much bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, from the glimpses we've seen of the Batmobile, it looks fucking spectacular.
It looks like a Prowler. If you guys remember that, like, I think it was like a... Was it Chevy, I think?
Yes, the Nightman drove a Chevy Prowler.
Yeah,
Nightman.
Johnny Domino, bitch. Yeah, it does kind of look like that with the two front wheels, that with like the wheel wells and everything. But I mean, really, if you look at it, it's like the Tumbler and the Arkham Asylum, the first game's Batmobile. Because I don't know if you guys remember that Batmobile. They had like concept art for it, and you see it in the first game. Like it's parked in front of one of the buildings for a while. But it pretty much looks just like that. And I remember seeing that Batmobile and being like, God damn, if we could just get that in a movie. Because it's like the perfect combination of like, this looks like it's a military vehicle, but it also looks like it's something Batman drives.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the whole Nolan series, it was very, like, it never felt like a Batmobile. You know what I mean? Like, it always felt like, oh, that's a cool, like, tank thing.
Yeah.
That he's driving. But, like, really, what made it a Batman piece of equipment, like, what made it Batman's is that it was painted black? Like, come on. I mean, the fucking accountant, like, in the Dark Knight, the Dark Knight figures out that, like, that's a Wayne Tech, like, prototype, you know?
Yeah. And they have, like, five more of them.
Yeah, they had a lot of them. Like, Bane actually finds them all and starts driving them around the streets. So yeah, like I love the fact that it does look like, you know, a realistic piece of military hardware, but it also looks like something that Batman came up with himself and designed. And it looks like you're not going to see like 10 of them ever going down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But, I also really like guys and I really like guys, but, I also really, that's going to be a soundbite. I know it. But I also really like the way, and someone on our Facebook page pointed this out, that it looks like there are like, crinkles almost, or like weird, wrinkles of some kind in the suit that makes it look like it's actually like fabric. And it doesn't look like it's this, like, rubberized, like, thing that's... Like, it looks like the material has a little bit of give to it. But what's cool about it is that, in my opinion, because it has, like, a leathery kind of look to it, it almost looks like it's animal skin. Like, it almost looks like it's that sort of weird skin, like, that leathery wing-type material that you would expect to see on a bat. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of those, like, minor little things that I think makes it cool. But a question I posed to our Facebook audience, actually... is, do you think, and I'll ask you guys the same thing, do you actually think that this is the Batman that we get from the offset of the movie, or do you think that this is going to be more of Batman's, like, final form? And the reason I ask that is because if you look at the texturing of the suit, the way it has that almost, like, I don't know if you guys were ever familiar with the dragon skin body armor, but it looked kind of like scales almost layered on top of each other, like a dragon skin would appear. Mm. But it has that sort of scaled, like Kryptonian texture to it that Superman's outfit had in Man of Steel. So I'm wondering if this is like what he starts out with from the beginning, or, you know, if it's sort of what he winds up with eventually.
Oh my God. I just thought of the craziest things as you mentioned that. Cause you're right. It does look like, you know, it looks like Zod's suit. Like they just like ripped right. off his body at the end was like, well, I'm just going to put a bat here and, it's going to see if it's bulletproof.
Wii Industries comes in to help clean up,
and he just finds the body.
Yeah.
It'd actually be a really cool, interesting theory, because he's like, okay, like, this guy failed, I'm just going to wear his clothes and modify it a bit.
So, well, I mean, yeah, I'd have to imagine that, you know, he's probably going to be able to pick up a few things from Superman in terms of tech, to some degree, at least.
There's a whole Kryptonian ship in the ocean of, or in the right. bay of Metropolis, so.
Right, right. So I don't know. What did you guys think of the suit, though? Like, what do you think it looks too, like, I don't know. A lot of people say it looks like not that impressive. Like, it's something that, like, a good cosplayer could have thrown together. But to me, that's part of the appeal. Because to me, that says it looks like it's taken right off the pages of the comic book.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I mean, it's a nice change from, like, the, basically, like, Christian Bale turned into, like, body armor by the end, like.
Well, he was RoboCop.
Yeah,
by
like,
the
armored, yeah. like, Batman variant from, Arkham Asylum or whatever, so.
Yeah. Which, like, I get that that was, you know, the whole realism thing, and it was realistic, and, like, if there was actually a guy who was a vigilante who dressed like a bat, he would probably have to wear body armor like that. But the problem was, every time he needed that body armor, it never did anything for him.
Yeah. He gets stabbed by a dog. Yeah.
He gets stabbed by the Joker. He gets shot. Like, what does that do? Like, that was either just, like, the worst body armor, or Lucius Fox was just trying to mercy kill Batman. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's armored. Don't worry.
He told him, like, if someone hits a small knife and just, like, carefully picks at it, a blank shot will kill him, like some weird design flaw.
A gun, anything but a straight shot. Well, god damn it, Lucius, that's probably what I'm going to be facing more than anything. You know, nobody's going to be shooting me in the back of the shoulder, but whatever. Yeah, I and judging by the looks of it, I mean, I know because of the whole like monochromatic like color scheme, it's a little bit hard to tell, but from all the pictures I've seen, it looks like it's gray and black.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, what about you, man? What did you think?
For the armor? Or
just everything?
For the everything, dude.
No, I'm just taking it all in. I mean,
just let it wash over you.
The thing I can't figure out, though, is, like, is this, like, it's a concept art, right? Like, there's...
No, this is, like, I think it's, like, on That's set. It. Like, Snyder's, like, Zack Snyder took it with, like... His tweet was like, I took this with my whatever camera.
Well, this really? Is the picture. Yeah. This is the picture he showed Kevin Smith. This okay. is the one that Kevin Smith saw. Or
because I feel like it's a little bit doctrine. A little
oh,
bit.
Oh, sure.
Like lighting. So I'm just saying like, oh, because, I mean, you can almost tell it's Ben Affleck by his like chin.
Oh, it's definitely Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
It's definitely like, Ben Affleck.
I'm just saying like.
Yeah, no, I know. It's not like a Polaroid picture of him,
right?
You know what I
right.
mean, like it's not something like that.
Yeah,
and
this is like,
believe me,
this is like basically this is the first like official promo shot.
It's the teaser. I mean, do you guys remember the Batman Begins picture that came out? That was him like squatting on that like factory railing, and everything was like brown and rusty looking, and like. It kind of set the whole mood for where they were coming from with that very, like, industrial look that it had. Like, I remember buying Entertainment Weekly just to get a glimpse of that picture and being, like, blown away by it because it was so different from what we had last seen in Batman and Robin. And now I'm very much reminded of that because whereas with the Nolan universe, or at least with Batman Begins, everything was brown and rusty, and that was even a fucking theme, according to him. Whatever, you know, it, we've sort of abandoned that whole, like, rust and brown and Blade Runner look in a more, traditional kind of, like, you know, I'm an orphan, my parents are dead, the world is blackness kind of thing. Which is cool. But
it's definitely one of the best teaser shots I think I've ever seen.
Oh, it's tremendous.
It's way better than like what would like the Amazing Spider-Man ones where it's like here's his eye.
Yeah, those were very. I mean, they did this in my opinion they did this perfectly, because last night, after like a month or so of inactivity on Twitter, Zack Snyder just posted like the back of the Batmobile, yep, like, with a tarp on it. And he was like, oh, maybe tomorrow we'll take the tarp off. And everyone was like, oh, man, maybe we're going to see the Batmobile tomorrow. And then he's just like, psych, here's Batman and the, yeah, Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, this isn't even the first official picture. Like, I know that that sounds like a crazy thing to say, but this isn't the official reveal, because this isn't coming from the movie. This isn't on the movie's website. There is no website yet.
Yeah.
This hasn't been released in a press release by Warner Brothers yet. I think there's still a lot to find out. I mean, we still need to find out who Jason Momoa is playing. Mm-hmm. We still need to find it. We still need to see Wonder Woman, don't forget, also.
Yep.
And allegedly,
Cyborg, and also, like, and,
right, yeah, right, right. And allegedly, we're also going to be getting Entertainment Weekly covers in June for the big, like, blockbuster summer kickoff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be three. It's either going to be one cover with the three of them, or three covers, like, with variants or whatever, with Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman. So,
mm-hmm,
that should be pretty gosh darn cool.
Yeah, it's a little funny thing you mentioned about Wonder Woman, because it's like, oh yeah, no pictures of her. We all know what Superman looks like. We all know what Metropolis looks like, or Gotham.
Yeah,
we have an idea.
Well, Gal Gadot, or Gadot, or whatever her name is. I mean, she said on her Facebook that it was going to be a wonderful week, with a smiley face.
This week,
so who knows? This week, yeah.
Hmm.
So maybe that just meant the whole Batman reveal, but
she's learned from Vin Diesel.
Yeah, to say it was going to be a wonderful week, I think that has to be a pun for Wonder Woman, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping that, I'm kind of hoping that maybe Friday, because Tuesday and Friday are usually the big, like, news days,
mm-hmm,
in the entertainment world. So I'm hoping that maybe Friday we get our first glimpse of Wonder Woman, too. Because, you know, obviously, guys, I was most excited about seeing Batman, but I still want to know what Wonder Woman's going to look like. You know, especially
it's about goddamn time that DC is.
It's about goddamn time, number one. And number two, you know, now I'm even more excited to see Wonder Woman because, I mean, think about it. We were kind of, obviously, you know, not sure what kind of Batman we were going to get. You know, the only thing we had to go by was Kevin Smith saying that it's nothing like nothing we've ever seen before,
mm-hmm,
in Batman movies, which is true. But now we know that it was basically taken, like, directly from the New 52. I mean, it is spot on, that Batsuit, down to the lines that run down the arms and everything. And there are no, like, you know, underwear on or whatever. It's just that, like, one, like, bodysuit. So now I'm wondering, is Wonder Woman actually going to, you know, look exactly as she does in the New 52? Or, like, what's that going to be like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, like, original, like, issue one of New 52, she had, like, her weird, like, pantsuit.
Yeah.
But I think she's back to, like, her just her normal, usual Wonder Woman costume.
Yeah, like, I would understand them putting her in, like, pants of some kind, you know? Because Wonder Woman has had, like, the whole panted look before, and, like, you know, I think that makes a little more sense, to be honest with you, because if she falls down, she's not going to, like, skin her knee.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever they do. Whatever they do is going to be fine with me, because I definitely trust Zack Snyder at this point. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other, speaking of the New 52, though, you know, back in March, we sort of talked about those crazy rumors that we got with, like, the Dark Knight Rises possibly being canon and it being about, you know, minor spoiler alert potentially here, about Batman still being the Nolan universe Batman and, like, coming out of retirement because of what happened in Metropolis and all this weird, crazy stuff. And seeing this suit and thinking about the fact that Man of Steel is on record as being a, you know, a universe-wide reboot for DC Comics, it kind of has me pushing that to the back of my mind, saying, well, there's no way that, you know, it's going to be a continuation of that universe, so don't even think about it. But if you look at the fact that they casted Ben Affleck, who is, you know, I think it's fair to say, you know, a middle-aged Batman who's obviously not, like, a young rookie. And then you look at the fact that they're basically using the Dark Knight Returns outfit as well. You know, it definitely looks New 52, but that's the giant, like, bat logo from The Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller's iconic work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, maybe is that kind of a hint of what we could expect from the storyline of this movie too?
Well, they did read the like monologue of from Dark Knight Returns at Comic-Con last year.
They did do that, which is also a big clue, but the only thing with that is that that passage is so iconic for setting up, like, a Batman versus Superman fight.
Yeah.
It could also just be that, like, hey, Batman and Superman are in the same movie, and here's a little teaser, which I'm kind of hoping it's that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, you know, I don't know if I like the idea of Batman being, like, totally retired. And if you think about it, if it is in that same, like, Christopher Nolan universe for whatever reason, like, let's just say that's the case, then that would mean that that universe's Batman is a double quitter and a two-time retiree. I don't know I'm okay with that.
I'm retiring for another 8 years.
Yeah, man, he just retires in these, like, seven-year intervals, and I'm like, well, you've done that twice, so that's, like, 14 goddamn years.
He's like the Michael Jordan of superheroes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
Yeah, so anyway, just keep an eye on everything actually for updates as they come in. Maybe by the time you hear this, the Wonder Woman stuff will be up.
Yeah, that would be great. And definitely look for some op-ed stuff, too,
mm-hmm.
coming soon. So,
And kind of getting overshadowed by all this Batman stuff is that the Marvel announced, well, actually Fox announced, that Channing Tatum is confirmed to be Gambit. In definitely X-Men Apocalypse, and then possibly some sort of solo movie. He's gonna be introduced in X-Men Apocalypse in 2016, and then possibly some sort of spin-off movie.
Hell yeah, man! I mean, I feel terrible that this got announced today. They basically picked the worst time you could ever announce that.
Yeah,
but it's still great news. I think Channing Tatum would be a perfect Gambit, or will be a perfect Gambit.
I'm just wondering if he's going to be able to do, if he's going to have the accent or not. I think the main thing everyone's wondering is, like, is he going to be, like, super Cajun or not?
I mean, I think if he can do it, he should do it.
Uh-huh.
But if it's going to be, like, a joke, you know what I mean? Like, if it's going to be, like, not very good, then they should probably just let him talk, you know, the way he talks. Mm-hmm. Or just give him, like, a generic, like, southern-ish accent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, working with a voice coach and even some post-editing, like, I think they could definitely, you know, give him that occasion twinge, you know?
I mean, if Steven Seagal can sort of do a Cajun...
Oh, God.
Well, he became a black Cajun man over the course of about, like, 5 years.
Yeah. After he was a Native American... Movies.
Yes, after his Native American face. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, like, it depends on the movie of, like, whether, like, obviously 21 Jump Street is great, and Channing Tatum's great in it, but then, like, White House Down was terrible.
Yeah.
And then, like, other, like, Magic Mike, and then all the, like, Nicholas Sparks movies.
All right.
It was only in one Nicholas Sparks movie.
I thought it was in, like, 10, like, at least 3. It was, like, wasn't he in, like, Dear John or something? And then,
Dear
like,
John, yeah.
Well, and then was that one, like, The Vow or something, where, like, Rachel McAdams, like, loses her memory?
That was a Nicholas Sparks album?
It seems like. If it wasn't, it was, like, pretty damn close.
Oh, he's known for being sappy romance movies.
Yeah.
Nicholas Sparks movies are just like that extra, like, that extra fuck you twist endings.
Yeah. Cancer. Everyone has cancer in Nicholas Sparks' universe. Or they're a ghost. Because then you write that, what was that, Safe Haven?
Safe Haven. Oh, man. I think it was our number one, like, what the F moment.
Biggest WTF moment.
Just the fact that, like, in order for this woman to find love from, like, she couldn't just find normal means. She needed the help of a ghost.
Yeah.
This is how you relate to women.
So, yeah, so we'll have to wait to see that in 2016. I'm sure they. I'm sure it's way too late to have like a teaser or something in Days of Future Past, but maybe we'll see something like end of this year or something. I don't know. But anyway, we need to get into the craziest that's been happening since late last week. TVpocalypse 2014. Because last week the networks basically cleaned house and canceled a ton of stuff in order to get ready for this week, which is when they're announcing all their new shows. So I mean, probably the biggest cancellation is Community got canceled by NBC, so we're not gonna get our 6 seasons of the movie. And it probably won't get picked up by any other like Netflix or anything like that. I guess they
really
kept it around, and then it's like there's like a slim chance it might happen. But Dan Harmon's kind of like, you know, I don't want to be the one to like cancel it again. Like, I don't want to like get everyone's hopes up and then have it not come true and it basically be canceled again. So he had some like super long statement about it that you can go read.
I mean, if it ends well, fine. But if it ends on just like a mystery, that'd be terrible.
I think it had just you could probably. I can't remember exactly, but I think you could probably just take the ending as like a series finale if you wanted. It would be fine. And they also canceled a ton of other shows on NBC. They canceled Revolution, which I gave up on like 5 episodes in, so that's not really a big loss. Crisis, Believe, Dracula.
fuck you, Dracula.
And then ABC canceled a bunch of shows. ABC pretty much canceled all of their new comedies that they had, except for The Goldbergs.
Nice. I do like The Goldbergs.
Yeah, Goldbergs is fantastic.
What a great show.
And then they renewed that, and they renewed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for another season.
Of course.
And then also like their all their regular shows like Modern Family, Castle, Once Upon a Time, Revenge, Scandal. CBS canceled the Crazy Ones, that Robin Williams show. Intelligence, Hostages, and the Bad Teacher show.
Ugh.
And then renewed pretty much everything else because they're like for some reason they're the number one network. Just because apparently like everyone just loves like procedurals.
Mm.
And then for Fox, we were talking about it like a couple weeks ago, but Almost Human got canceled, unfortunately. So we'll just figure out some way to get Carl Urban fix next time.
Hopefully this opens the door for Dread 2.
Yeah. Dread Show.
Or even better, a gritty Dread series.
Yeah.
A channel like Showtime or FX.
Mm-hmm. You can go into like the cursed earth and just fight mutants and stuff.
Come on, Cinemax, you're not doing
Judge
anything.
Judge Death can show up and just like murder people.
Fucking A, he can.
And then Fox also canceled a bunch of their comedies: Enlisted, Dads, Raising Hope, Surviving Jack. I also canceled that Greg Kinnear show, Rake.
I have watched one of these and it was terrible.
Which one? Dads?
Dads.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Raising Hope was, like, a surprise hit for a while.
Yeah.
Supposedly, it was very funny for a while and then started to dip.
Mm-hmm. They also canceled The X Factor, and they're going to limit American Idol next year. It's going to be, like, half as long as it was this year. Or as
previous years. Wow, so it's not going to just be perpetually on all the time for no reason?
Apparently, like, it's been... I saw in, like, the press release it was, like, 60 hours this year, and they're kept cutting it down to, like, 37 hours.
Oh.
And then CW canceled
Arrow.
They would never cancel Arrow. Arrow is like their top rated show of all time.
Yeah, pretty much.
They canceled Tomorrow People, which was their other sort of like superhero show that wasn't based on comics, but it was like kind of like it's kind of like Heroes or something, I guess.
It was comic-y enough.
Carrie Diaries, which is like the Sex and the City prequel show.
Oh wow! I thought that was canceled a while ago.
I think it was like the first season of it this year, or maybe the second season, but whatever. Obviously they renewed Arrow. They renewed The 100, which is like this like post-apocalypse show where like these like 100 kids are like left on Earth or something.
Just to see what would happen.
Supernatural is still on, apparently. It's got renewed. Vampire Diaries. So as far as new shows, we can run it down by maybe like alphabetical order, but ABC, they officially confirmed there's going to be an Agent Carter show.
Nice.
Which will be, apparently when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes on its break, Agent Carter will come in and fill in that hole in the schedule. So you'll never be without a Marvel show on ABC. They have a bunch of like weird crime drama shows coming. They have like American Crime, which stars Ryan Phillippe, and he stumbles across this body of a murdered kid, and then he becomes the prime suspect, even though he's like, I didn't do anything.
No, but you looked at it.
Yeah. They have, I don't know what the hell, like, they have this show called Selfie coming that stars John Cho and Karen Gillan, where it's like Karen Gillan's like this like internet celebrity slash like basically like Kim Kardashian or something, and she like hires John Cho. It's kind of like an internet remake of like My Fair Lady or something. Well, like, what if My Fair Lady was on the internet, guys?
God.
Black-ish, which is an Anthony Anderson sitcom coming, where it's like he's trying to like have his family like reconnect with their roots, because it's just like weird, like modern society is like homogenizing our kids or something. I don't know. Like, my black kid wants to be Jewish. they have this show called Forever coming, which is stars Owen Grufford, Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four movies. He's starring as an immortal crime, like a medical examiner. So it's basically like Highlander crossed with like Bones or something.
Then he's an immortal. So does he fight demons and shit?
I don't think he fights demons. He's just like, hey, I have centuries of knowledge about crimes. So that's how I'm able to solve these crimes.
Oh god, it's like that other show about the chick who could remember things.
Yeah, kind of.
What's up with this year with shows with like, they have really good memory, like intelligence.
You don't worry about that anymore, but
I know, but like, it's just like these shows that like after 8 episodes are like, it's boring because it's like they're just like assholes with like all this knowledge.
Yeah. ABC also has a show coming called How to Get Away with Murder, which is from the people who made Scandal, and stars Viola Davis as like a professor at a law school, and she teaches criminology 101, which she calls how to. It's like she's teaching a class about like how to commit crimes, and she gets involved with a crime.
Jesus, what is like 90s crappy romance? Like a lot of crime novels back in the 90s were like this. Were like remember Basic Instinct?
Well,
yep.
Well, ABC, they literally have another show that they have coming is they literally have a show called American Crime.
Oh no!
Which is like it's from Lee Daniels, from like The Butler and other movies. It's like this like racially charged crime, like this guy and his wife get murdered, and like the prime suspect is like a Hispanic guy, and so it's like following both families.
It's the Feel Bad TV show.
Pretty much, yeah. They have a comedy called coming up called Gallivant, which is kind of like it's basically kind of like Enchanted or something, or kind of like a Shrek, probably more off. Like, it looks like a self-aware, like basically like Disney musical. It's gonna be in like TV form, where it's like really like disgusting rude prince has to like go and like rescue his like this princess from like an evil king, and it's musicals every episode, crazy fantasy world. The one cool thing is they have Al Menken coming doing the music, who wrote pretty much all the classic Disney songs from the 90s.
Hmm.
So it looks like it might be kind of fun. They have a sci-fi show called The Whispers, which is like based on a Ray Bradbury story, where it's basically kids start getting communications with aliens, and then the aliens basically use the kids to start taking over the Earth. Like, they had the kids like murder their parents and like take like hack into computers and like blow things up.
What was that show with Kiefer Sutherland and the kid who touched?
Ugh. That wasn't aliens or anything. It was just like,
I thought that was aliens. Yeah.
that's more like Knowing or something, where it's like math.
Math is coming.
I thought I'd do something with aliens. That's why.
No, it's just weird. Like, he was autistic or something. It'd be. And then ABC, Age Carter. Pretty much every show has a superhero show coming this fall too. So. Fox obviously has Gotham coming, which is probably the most anticipated show for them, and possibly the whole fall. Yeah, they also announced a bunch of dramas and comedies. They have this show called Wayward Pines, which basically looks like a new Twin Peaks from M. Night Shyamalan. It's Twin Peaks crossed with The Prisoner, basically, is what it looks like, because it's got Matt Dillon, and he's a Secret Service agent / like FBI secret agent. I think he's an FBI agent. But he ends up in like this weird Pacific Northwest town, and then he finds out that the town is like some sort of like weird government project possibly, and there's like a giant like fence around the entire town, and like everyone's like being monitored. So it looks insane. And everyone's like, don't let them hear you. Don't let them hear you talk about that. Rainn Wilson's going to be starring in a weird crime procedural dramedy sort of thing. Backstrom. Where he's basically House, but he's a detective.
Oh, man. I can't imagine him not being like a Dwight character. And now watch him be like, a smart ass is gonna be weird. It's like Dwight on a power trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm okay with that.
They have a reality show called Utopia coming, where they send a bunch of people to like make like the perfect society.
Oh, is that the one with like the Utopia and it's like a caveman and a?
That was a sci-fi show. That was like the weird like dual worlds or something. Or yeah, it was like. If you lose, you have to go to, like, the prehistoric world or whatever, and, like,
get... Yeah. So I'm confusing a lot of the reality shows.
Yeah.
It's, like, the stupidest premises.
They have Mulaney coming, which stars John Mulaney, and it basically looks like a new Seinfeld. It's got the same exact premise.
I'm okay with that. I like Mulaney.
Because it's John Mulaney stand-up intermixed with, like, weird, like, he has wacky friends, and they're hanging out in New York.
So it's like a happy version of Louis.
Kind, yeah. And he's also working, like, he's like stand-up comic by night, but then his day job is he works for a game show that's hosted by Martin Short. But it's not Martin Short, like, he's playing a character, but it's like, he's like an old stand-up from like the 80s, 90s. Now he's hosting a game show. They have a show called Hieroglyph, which basically looks like a rejected Starz show, and then it's gonna be on Fox.
Just way toned down.
Yeah, toned down, like it said Ancient Egypt. Like, it's basically looks like ancient Egyptian Da Vinci's demons. They're searching for like some ancient book of something, like the Book of Thedes or something, and they're trying to like, and there's like the evil emperor's trying to get the book or something, and it's like, this is straight up just like a Starz show. But with less violence and sex.
Boo.
They have Empire, which is going to star Terrence Howard as it's kind of a weird like hip-hop family drama where it's like Terrence Howard is basically like a big record mogul and he finds out he's going to die because he has some sort of disease. So he's trying to figure out like who he's going to leave his empire to, which one of his sons. And they're all like backstabbing each other to get like the inheritance. Then like his like ex-wife comes out of prison and is like, I want half the company. I helped build it.
Of course.
They have Grace Point, which is a straight up remake of the BBC show Broadchurch, which was a crime drama that I think aired last year. And the weird thing is that David Tennant, who starred in Broadchurch, is going to star in this one as basically the same character, except he has an American accent now.
What? He can do an American accent?
A very bad one, or a very weird one. And then also, Anna Gunn from Breaking Bad is going to be his partner. And then the last Fox show that they're going to have is Last Man on Earth, which is Will Forte, and he is the last man on Earth. There's like a weird apocalypse, and it's basically like Omega Man, but with Will Forte.
That sounds really strange.
It's from Chris Lord and Phil Miller, who did Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street and 22 Jump Street. Yeesh. Like, yeah, literally, like it's like starring for that show is Will Forte.
Bizarre.
Oh, the other big news from Fox is that they're actually they're changing. They're finally breaking up the Animation Domination block, and they're putting Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Mulaney on, along with like Bob's Burgers and The Simpsons and Family Guy. So it's not gonna it's not gonna be totally Animation on Sundays now.
So that's Saturday, a very Domination. Weird
breakup.
It's also weird that like they're moving Brooklyn Nine-Nine to Sunday, which because that was like their biggest show from last year.
It's like whoa, we did too good of a job.
Yeah. And Gotham is gonna lead up to Sleepy Hollow on Mondays. Gotham will be at 8 and Sleepy Hollow will be at 9.
Interesting.
And then NBC, which is I think the last network we have up to this point. We haven't CBS is going to be on Thursdays. So we probably won't have that until next week. And CW is on Wednesday.
Come on, Blue Bloods.
I think that Blue Bloods got renewed, Joe. So I think you're good there.
Of course.
But yeah, so as far as new shows, I think the big one is Constantine. Did you guys see the trailer for that one?
Yep.
I did. It looks pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan, who plays Constantine, looks and sounds exactly like Constantine, basically. and it looks definitely pretty awesome. I'm not 100% familiar with, like, old-school Constantine or, like, new Constantine, but it seems like... I don't know. Do you guys know if he ever ended up with like a mental institution at one point? Because it seems like in this show he goes to a mental institution because he thinks he's crazy, and then he is like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna fight demons." Apparently, I see demons. So,
I think like his story picks up in the middle of his like career, because it seems like he's experienced. He probably got tired of it. He wants to like see if he actually is crazy or not.
Yeah.
And this is where like we start. The main, like not the main lead, but like the female character that basically plays from the movie is in there. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Daniel Craig's wife.
Rachel Wise.
They have like a Rachel Wise like lookalike. Like a younger Rachel Wise lookalike. You notice that?
Yeah, I don't know if she's a cop. I can't remember in the trailer if they said she was a cop or not. It's just like she's the daughter of one of Constantine's friends who he promised to protect or something from demons. But yeah, that's definitely their biggest show. All the rest of their shows look kind of just like meh. But as far as like returning shows, they're gonna have Blacklist again, which is I think one of the biggest shows of the 2013-2014 season. It was like a gigantic hit. Constantine is gonna pair up with Grimm on Fridays, so it's gonna be Constantine then Grimm. Hannibal got renewed, which is awesome.
That's very cool.
Parks and Rec is gonna have its final season next year, and then they're gonna have The Voice as well, returning. Then as far as new shows, they have a show called State of Affairs, which sounds like a USA show.
Yes.
But it starts Katherine Heigl as like she's a CIA official who has to like go and like brief the president on CIA missions. So it's like she has a, it's like she has to deal with her political responsibilities along with a complicated personal life.
Or like her dating or something.
Oh yeah, like her husband is like cheats on her.
Is this like a comedy?
No,
something?
No, it's a drama.
Oh my god, because the premise seems like a comical mishap of her like running to the president and telling him about his schedule, then like going on terrible dates.
No, it's like ridiculously melodramatic. They have a sitcom coming called Marry Me, which stars Casey Wilson and Ken Marino, where it's like this couple who keeps like trying to propose to each other, and it's like keeps going awful.
Good.
They have Bad Judge.
Oh my god.
Which stars Kate Walsh as a like
bad judge.
Yeah, a drunken like horrible judge, and then it's like, but now she has to care for this kid. It's like random kid.
That kid would be dead in real life.
I hate this show.
I don't know anything about it, but I hate it.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
They have The Mysteries of Laura, which stars Deborah Messing, and it's like a seems like a crime dramedy. And Deborah Messing is a detective, and she's like super effective, but then she has to deal with her like out of control kids.
Oh, a woman can't handle what she made.
Yeah,
she can't like hire a nanny or something.
That's like the joke at the end of the trailer. Is like, I need to hire a nanny.
Oh my god!
And it's based on a Spanish series, Los Misterios de Laura.
Super.
And then they have A to Z, which is stars Ginsburg from Mad Men, and then the mom from How I Met Your Mother. And they're like, they work at an online dating company, but they can't find dates until they meet each other.
I get it.
Yeah, I don't. NBC is like, all their new shows are pretty goddamn terrible looking.
They sound really good.
I would say Fox is probably the one I'm most, seems like they're winning so far as far as new shows.
Absolutely.
There's no Agent Carter show yet, so I don't know about ABC, but like, yeah, ABC, look, with like a couple of tweaks, I put it on my Facebook, like, with a couple of tweaks, ABC would basically be Lifetime. Because all their shows are like weird, like female revenge or like female, like, craziness happening. Mm-hmm. Like Scandal and Revenge and Once Upon a Time. And Grey's Anatomy.
Can't forget about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, so we'll talk about CW and CBS next week. We'll have the Flash show to talk about, which is going to debut during the Arrow finale on Wednesday. So you probably already saw it by the time this goes up. We can talk about Adult Swim, because they announced some of their new shows. They're going to have a new cartoon called Mike Tyson Mysteries, which is Mike Tyson and his pet pigeon solving crimes.
Are you... really?
It's going to be... It's a parody of, like, the Mr. T cartoon and Scooby-Doo, basically.
Dude, that is awesome.
There's going to be a show that's co-starring Jack McBrayer and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Which is gonna be like, they're basically like they were co-stars together on like an 80s like Lassie show. Like Triumph was basically the Lassie of that, and then it basically turns into like Ted, where like he was like, oh, he was like a super wholesome like Lassie, and then he turned to Triumph.
Wow, that should give him like an origin story, like after 20 years or maybe like 19 years after his career, something like that.
Yeah, kind of.
It's weird.
They're gonna have a show from John Krasinski called Dream Corp LLC. There's gonna be a new show from John Glazer called Neon Joe Werewolf Hunter.
I believe it.
Which, John Glazer is a councilman jam on Parks and Rec, and then also he had the Delocated.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot he did Delocated.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that would come back.
Black Jesus from Aaron McGruder.
Oh, good.
And then they're going to have a cartoon called Mr. Pickles, which is about a, like, disgusting deviant pet of like this seemingly like normal family. So it's like like this like really terrible dog.
What show? What channels is this going to be on?
These are all Adult Swim shows. Swim.
Okay.
You nut.
Yeah. So we'll talk about CW and CBS next week. And just keep checking the site for the latest. As soon as trailers go up, I try to get them on the site. So just keep checking the site throughout the day for this week for the latest TV news and trailers. And I think that's it for news this week.
Survival. Oh, actually, the Kickboxer remake.
Oh yeah, I forgot. That was
huge news too. Yeah. And George St. Pierre.
Yes.
I mean that's kind of bananas when you stop and think about it.
And then I believe there's gonna be like the stunt guy, basically in the Van Damme role.
Is that like Alan Moosey?
Yeah, Alan Moosey, yeah.
Elaine, I think his name was, whatever. Yeah. No, it's like a really weird spelling of it.
Yeah, Elaine, like, he's going to be like,
Yeah, he's going to basically be the new Van Damme.
Uh-huh.
Which is cool, I like that they're doing a stunt guy. Because I'm not going to lie, when I saw GSP, I was like, oh man, is he starring in it? But I think he's obviously a much better,
Well, I wonder if he's going to be, because like the plot they said is going to be two brothers, one goes to like the Karate World Championships.
Karate World Championship?
Yeah, and gets killed, and then the other brother has to go and train and then fight the guy who killed his brother.
Batista.
Yeah, Batista's going to, obviously, yeah. he's going to be the Well, it said it's Tong
To Long.
Goro.
Tong Long. Oh, yeah.
Shang Tsung.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, that sounds pretty awesome. We got that, and we got the Bloodsport remake coming in the near future, so.
Yeah, man, it's a good day to be a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting remade. You've got new life.
Yeah. You can maybe have a cameo in them or something.
Indeed.
So, you know, speaking of Batista and wrestling and fighting, our pick of the week this week for New Year's Roundup is WrestleMania 30.
Hell yeah.
Which you can grab if you don't have WWE Network or didn't buy it when it was out. You can get it on DVD now.
Like a fool.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Watch the streak end.
Incredible.
And then also this week we have I, Frankenstein.
No one's going to see that, don't worry.
Unfortunately, I saw it.
Oh, boy.
Which you can check out my review on the site. Yeah, that movie was goddamn dumb.
You don't say.
Like, I would say, I would say 2 beer minimum to watch that movie, if not more.
That sounds about right.
We also have Her out this week. Critically acclaimed, Academy Award nominated, Her.
Was that
a few?
Did you see that?
I haven't seen that yet.
Nor I. I kind of want to see it. I don't know if that makes me weird, but
I've heard from everyone it's amazing. So
really,
yeah.
I mean, it definitely sounds interesting, like a movie that I should at least see.
Mm-hmm. That Awkward Moment is also out this week.
Yeah.
Starring half the new Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Stalingrad is out this week. The crazy Russian war epic that came out last year. It was like an IMAX 3D or something.
Huh.
Crocodile Dundee 1 and 2 in a double feature Blu-ray this week. Which, those are the only two you really need. You don't need whatever Escape to Los Angeles or Ghost of Los Angeles. Ocean's Trilogy Collection, so you can get all three Ocean's movies and the remake ones. on
I have that already.
Yeah, it's weird. There's a bunch of new collections for some reason. Like, people were like,
what?
Package them again!
Oh, okay.
New Donnie Yen martial arts action movie, Special ID.
You know, he makes all these generic ones, and he makes, like, he shotguns these things.
Mm-hmm.
I give him props for that, because he's, like, 50-something.
We have Evil Speak, which is a, I think it's from one of those Shout Factory cult classic 80s movies that they've been releasing. Stars Clint Howard.
Yeah.
And he finds the grave of a Satanist, and then like gets put like he basically seems like he finds the grave of a Satanist, and then like, turns like the Satanist Bible into like some sort of computer program and leaves it to kill people or something.
I believe it.
It sounds insane. Marvel Knights Wolverine Weapon X. Tomorrow Dies Today, I think is the... yeah,
is the name of the James Bond movie with Wolverine in it, or
that'd be pretty awesome.
Tomorrow Dies Today.
Looks like from the cover, it looks like Wolverine versus Deathlock at one point. So,
ooh,
wow,
is that a motion comic or
yeah? It's a it's a motion comic. They've been putting out like the Marvel Knights Wolverines for a while, I think.
Interesting.
Godzilla King of the Monsters, the terrible American edit of the original Godzilla, is out this week.
You say terrible edit. I say America's bastardization of...
Why see Godzilla when you can have Raymond Burr describe Godzilla to you?
It is the California roll to, like, Japan's, like, regular sushis.
It's just, like, half the movie just Raymond Burr in a window being like, "Dear God, look at the size of him! He's crushing buildings! It's incredible!" Now I got hit in the head, and I woke up in this hospital.
I think every time I see it on TV, I see that scene in the hospital where I was, like, in rubble, shuffling around.
How could this have happened? Let me tell you. we have Flying Tigers, which is a John Wayne World War II fighter pilot movie. Poseidon Rex is out this week, which is, I believe it's from the guy who directed Commando. And it's about a T-Rex who can swim and is terrorizing the oceans.
Do it. I mean, maybe. Maybe I'll see that.
Yeah. Fast and Furious 6 movie collection is out this week, so if you somehow don't have the all 6 Fast and Furious movies, you can get that this week.
Well, I own 12 of them. I bought them each twice.
So. Mm-hmm. Hellboy 20th Anniversary, which is the, not the movies, but the two animated movies in a Blu-ray set.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, wait a goddamn second. That shit is not 25 years old. The like live action movies. I was like, I did not just go forward in time.
Mm-hmm. We have The Zombinator this week, which, as far as I can tell, is a combination of Terminator and zombies. I don't know how that works, but
okay.
You guys should go look at the DVD art for that one. and then last thing out this week is Deadly Code, which is some sort of crime movie, crime drama something with John Malkovich. The cover is him just like super tatted up, like some sort of like, he looks like possibly like a Russian, some sort of like Russian enforcer or like Russian criminal. If he has a crazy accent, that's a plus. And that's going to be it for this week. So, as far as show and tell goes, Joe, have you seen anything last week or so?
Man, I don't actually think I did.
Saving it for Godzilla?
It's all kind of a blur. Yeah, I mean, I I wasn't around this weekend. I actually flew back up north to see the mother for Mother's Day. I did see a tremendous show. I saw Black Label Society with Dan at the Best Buy Theater. So that was a brutal time, and there was certainly some action going on.
Musical action.
Musical action, hardcore brutality. I mean, basically, that would have to be our one of our unofficial official soundtrack bands for sure. If we ever put out an Everything Action soundtrack,
Everything Action.
But yeah, album. Man. Exactly, man. Father Zach. He rocks like no other. But yeah, that I basically did not watch much of anything except TV this weekend. You know. Simpsons, I just want to say, I don't usually talk about seeing The Simpsons,
oh,
but this
week... Oh, you see Lego
was,
one?
That was a joke. That was so bad.
The Lego one?
I'm sorry. I did not like the Lego one, and I didn't like this last one. Like, I've defended the Simpsons for the past couple of I've defended The Simpsons for the past couple of seasons, because they've had, like, you know, okay episodes, not great episodes, and then a few, like, really good ones each season.
Uh-huh.
But this, oh, man. Like, I really didn't like the Lego one. It just seemed, like, pointless to me. And then this last one was also really terrible. And other than that, everything else has pretty much been status quo. Like, American Dad is always hit or miss, and then Family Guy is always hit or miss. But I kind of liked Family Guy this week, actually, because Cleveland finally came back, which was fun.
They announced... I think they have some clips, and, like, they announced the date, I think, for the Family Guy Simpsons crossover.
Yes, I think... If I remember correctly, they're just doing a couch gag, or is it a full episode?
It's going to be a full episode, because they showed, like, clips of, like, Stewie skateboarding with Bart, and then they're going to have a big, like, Homer-Peter chicken fight style, where they're going to battle each other.
Nice.
Chris, did you watch anything?
I watched This Is the End, finally.
Wow.
Nice.
Have you not seen that before that? Oh.
I just haven't, and I caught it. And, yeah, I enjoyed it. For what it was, like, especially for, I caught it so late in the game, and, you know, just see all the references, it's like a time capsule movie, because it's like, up until that point, everyone's career was this weird midpoint, so they make fun of each other, and it's very self-aware, too, and I enjoy that, like, and then just the special effects of it were just crazy, because, for such a weird concept, and for them to, like, tell actual people, be like, yeah, you're going to start it for, like, a minute, like, all these other random people for cameos or whatnot, or just, like, references to bash them.
And then cast into hell.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I kind of want to know about what the hell is going on, but then I don't. You know, like, there's certain parts that makes me go, like, oh, why is this happening? And then they kind of explain it. And then the fact that, like, Hollywood is struggling to stay alive during this, and it's all these, like, crazy, like, actors trying to figure out what's going on, and then, like, just the Emma Watson scene, but that's the other thing, like, the trailers and stuff show that scene way too much, so that when I saw it, I was like, okay, I know where I am in the story, you know, like,
it does go beyond what the trailer showed.
It does, but, yeah, I was like, that was, like, one of the key moments everyone was talking about. But I was like watching. I was like, "Oh, that's a small part compared to everything else." I love the Dan McBride, like,
everything
progressions. Yeah,
it's like, me jerking off on you.
Yeah, spoiler alert: when he becomes like an evil cannibal, holy shit! I love that when he just pops up. Says, hey, yeah, what's up,
dude? What about Channing Tatum?
Oh my god!
Yeah, man, that was.
Beautiful. I wonder if, like, he was in that like costume for all his scenes, or like he had a stunt gimp. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, like, for like one camera shot you're in the gimp suit, other than that it's like your lookalike.
I'm sure Chantan seems like he'd be game to be in a gimp suit for a couple, like, half an hour or so.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he's okay for that, like, yeah, he's probably like a cool guy, but if he was playing like a huge dick, it's like, well, half the budget was Shane Tatum, like, pay him to be in the suit. So,
wait, Chris, that or World's End? Because that was the big battle.
Yeah, that was the big World's. I still prefer World's End because because it didn't rely on, like, your self knowledge of their movies. You know, like, this movie, like, you have to be kind of a fan to really appreciate everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But World's End was like, oh, all I know is a little bit of English humor and like, their drinking habits, and that's it.
I mean, there are definitely, like, inside jokes in World's End for, like, the other
yes.
Cornetto Trilogy movies.
Actually, that's better. These are all both inside joke movies, where if this is your first time watching any of them, even just, like, the actors, you would just be so fucking lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you didn't know Seth Rogen or Jay Burshoff or his name is, or James Franco,
yeah,
you would not get any of the references. Especially when they keep making fun of him for Spider-Man 3.
Everything James Franco is like, it's just like Flyboys and like 127 hours and like,
oh man, the Flyboys gun.
Yep.
Because it's like, oh yeah, that's right. He had a gun in that movie.
I keep something from every movie, man. The one in his basement just says like Spider-Man 3 standees and like all that stuff.
Dude, that was such a great fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. So, anything else, Chris?
No, that's about it.
Well, I watched a couple things. I saw the first episode of Penny Dreadful, which I think you talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, Chris.
Yep, Penny Dreadful.
Which I thought was a pretty... Yeah, it's a cool show. It definitely is, like, they're building, like, the not-leave extraordinary gentleman.
They try so hard to walk around it.
Because, yeah, they're assembling a team to, like, go fight vampires and stuff. So it's like, well, here's not Wild Bill Hickok, a.k.a. Jess Hartnett. We have, like, it's like, here's not Alan Quartermain, Timothy Dalton. They do have Victor Frankenstein, though. Straight, like...
But you know it's him, and they make it seem like you don't know it's him until the last moment.
Yeah, that is a weird, like, it's so freaking obvious that it's Victor Frankenstein that you're just like, wow. Okay,
right,
yeah.
That's why the last scene is more comical, because it's like, by the way, I'm Frankenstein. Like, no shit, you are.
That last scene was super, super weird, though. We just like...
It starts out strong, where he's talking about burning the world to save a few. Like, he'll, like, go through hell. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets stupid, because, like, oh, I don't know what your name is. Like, what, you just told a man you're going to destroy the world to save, like, people, and you don't know who you're talking to? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm talking about, like, the final scene where, like, the monster wakes up, and then they're just, like, staring at each other crying.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you can understand me? And the monster's like, whoo?
See, I totally forgot that, because that seems like that should be in the middle of the episode, not, like, the end where it's like, yeah. Oh, I accidentally made life. I have no restraints or whatever. It's like, it's weird, because his experiment just instantly works. There's no, like, failed experiment. It just, oh, okay, the lights turned off, and they turned on, and monster's alive.
Yeah. I do, like, I think it's, like, hope, it seems like Pop maybe will get, like, the mummy at some point, because there's, like, or they just combined, like, Egyptian and vampire, because, like, the vampires have, like, Egyptian hieroglyphics on them for some reason. Like, maybe it seems like that's how they got created, possibly. But they're gonna, they've been talking about doing, like, pretty much all the classic monsters, so I'm sure at some point we're gonna get, like, a mummy running around, like, killing people or something, maybe. I'm sure there's probably gonna be some weird cult they're gonna have to fight. Like the cult of Anubis or something.
Well, I mean, it kind of drops you right in a story, and you have no idea the vampire community is. You know, the fact that Victor Frankenstein is just okay with dead people dropping off dead parts.
Well, he works at like the weird like butcher lab or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, you don't
butchery.
Really. And then there's that murder in that woman's house that Timmy Dalton just like walks into.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm just. Are you a cop? Like, I don't know.
I'm rich, damn it.
Like, he's so rich, he just walk into murder scenes.
Yeah. I'm a rich nobleman. But yeah, I mean, definitely goes, like, I thought the scene where, like, they first the first vampire thing they investigate was pretty awesome, where it's just like, hey, Josh Hartnett, come and join, we got a job for you.
Oh, that's before the awkward, let's have sex by a wagon. right after she almost kills that woman.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let me do some the shooting tricks.
Yeah, that was way after.
Yeah, just like, wow, that worked. Just like, you could, this is like 18th century guns you're using.
Yeah. You almost murdered me. I find that very attractive.
I know, I was like, what?
Yeah, I think I'll keep watching. It's like, it's not like one of the best shows on television, but it's like, it's fun. If you're like a fan of like, like *The Extraordinary Gentleman* or like, I don't know. I was gonna say Van Helsing, but it's definitely better than Van Helsing, I think.
Yeah, it definitely it's in the same category, but it's better.
Yeah.
I'll watch it too. Just like it's something I'll build up and then just watch it.
And then as far as movies go, I finally saw 47 Ronin.
Oh boy.
Which was kind of it was meh. it's every cliche of like fantasy / historical action movies, you know, where it's like, it's like, oh man, the evil guy came and like took over our lands. Now we have to go fight him, and we have to assemble our team, which is like, there's the funny guy and the serious guy, and like a ton of like just so many cliches of like, obviously Keanu Reeves is gonna be the guy who is in the final battle, and then like,
oh, because he's the chosen one,
yeah, and just like a ton like. So many, like, set, like, if you've seen, like, Lord of the Rings, or you've seen, like, I don't know, just, like, other, like, fantasy action movies, like, you pretty much, you'll know every single plot beat that is coming in this movie. Yeah, and Keanu Reeves is just weird, like, he's just, like, he's doing, like, his, like, weird, like, that, like, basically the same amount of emotion he had in, like, Data Ursta Still, where he was an emotionless alien. No, he's, like, an emotionless demon human guy.
I thought he was half Asian, half white. That was the only difference.
He's half Asian, half white, but then he also, like, trained with demons, so now he has, like, demon powers. For some reason, that he uses, like, once in the movie. And it's weird feudal Japan, where it's, like, there's just, like, monsters running around, and like it's just like that's normal for everybody. It's like, hey, we gotta go hunt this monster today. It's instead of like hunting like a bear, we hunt like this giant like dragon bear monster. So I mean, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't like it wasn't great either. I'd say definitely go watch something like 13 Assassins instead of this one, because 13 Assassins like does the same thing, but like pretty much the same thing, but like infinitely better. Because like it's actually like interesting what's happening, and the final battle is ridiculous. Instead, like this one is just like, oh, I wonder how the final battle is going to go. Are they going to win? And Keanu Reeves is going to kill this person? Yep.
Like, do they even explain why everyone, like, demons? Like, if this movie didn't have demons, would it still make sense?
I mean, it would just be, like, a generic, like, it would just be, like, 13 Assassins, but terrible.
Well, this is actually the historic sense. Like, it was 13 Warriors, but it wasn't the 13, it was 47, like, a clan of 47 Warriors. And, like, if they didn't make it fantasy, I'd watch it. I'd be like, yay, like, it's a weird Americanized version of it.
Yeah,
but now it's like, oh, then it got super mystical.
It would just, yeah, if the magic stuff wasn't in it, it would just be like the blandest like cliche thing. You like
super you know, it'll be called The Way of the Samurai, The Last Samurai.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, probably. Although The Last Samurai is probably better than this one too.
Last Samurai is not bad. It's too like, hey, we taught Tom Cruise how to wield a katana.
Yeah, this one is just like, it's just super bland. And it's also weird that it costs like over $200 million or $250 million. And it's like, the CG is not that great. I mean, it's okay, but it's not like mind blowing for the amount of money they spent on this movie. So I was like, maybe if it shows up on Netflix at some point, maybe check it out. But there's way better movies of like similar to watch besides instead of that one. And I also saw Badass 2, Badasses, continuing the Danny Trejo Epic Beard Man saga. Which I don't think either of you guys have not seen Badass, right?
I saw the first half.
So the first half?
Finish it.
It's been in my queue for like ever, but I haven't seen it.
I think Badass 2 is kind of like a more, kind of like how VHS was. Like, this is a more like refined, they figured out what the formula was and they just like went with that one. They went with that and it's less scattershot and less crazy than the first one. Because the first one kind of like turned into Crank by the end, and it was just like ridiculous. Of like, hey, we're gonna have a bus duel. Because that's believable for like, this like, older gentleman who's just like going around stopping crimes to like end up in like a crazy bus duel. And also the plot of the first one was like kind of insane, where it's like Ron Perlman was like trying to like he was the mayor, he was trying to like raise crime in this neighborhood to like buy it and then like bulldoze it to like make a condo or something. It was like super convoluted for what the hell the movie was trying to do. And then Badass 2 is like pretty simple. It's just like now Danny Trejo is running a boxing like community center, and one of his boxers gets killed, and he has to like, figure out it's, and then he finds out like this boxer was like selling drugs, and they just like go find the drug dealers and stop them, and then he partners up with Danny Glover, who owns like the convenience store next, or like the bodega next to his like boxing center, and they're like, oh, like let's team up and like take these drug dealers down. And it's just like, basically it's just like they go to a place, beat the shit out of people, get some info, and then go to the next place and beat the shit out of people. Which if that's like, if you want to see Danny Trejo and Danny Glover just like beat the shit out of people for an hour and a half, then definitely check out Badass 2, because that's basically what you're gonna get.
Sign me up.
And they have a lot of good back and forth one-liners between each other, like a lot of like old jokes like against each other, and like how they're like dressing. Because like I don't know, from the first one, Danny Trejo's, he wears like a fanny pack and like a shirt that says "I'm a motherfucker" on it, and like a camo jacket he like got from like a Goodwill or something. And then Danny Glover shows up as like, and he has like this like green tracksuit and like a sweatband on his head, and so they're like making fun of each other's outfits. Like, Danny Glover in this movie is basically, like a live-action version of, like, Robert Freeman from Boondocks, where he's just, like, constantly hitting on, like, super, like, way younger women and, like, just, like, complaining about everything. But, yeah, it's pretty fun. I'm sure it'll be on Netflix at some point, because I think the first one was. But it's at Redbox too, if you want to check it out. Maybe you could like you could probably just skip the first one and just watch this one, because this one's probably like a little bit more like straightforward and more grounded, even though it's just like two old guys beating the shit out of people. But
it's entertaining. Slightly
less crazy than the first one, which basically just like devolved like this insane Crank style. It's just like things like Danny Trejo ends up playing it starts out with like, oh, he got in a fight in the bus, and that's why everyone is like, now he's famous. And so with like him in like an exploding factory, and then escaping that, and then like, getting to a bus chase down in Los Angeles. Yeah, so anyway, so that's all I've seen for this week. So I think we can probably write this thing off for the week, unless there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about.
No, not really.
So if you want more from us, you can go to everythingaction.com for news, reviews, trailers, all sorts of other stuff. Go on there and check out those Batman pictures or all the TV news that's coming out in the last week or so. I got it divided by network, so if you want to check out what's coming out for each network, just hit them up on the site. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everythingnotaction, if you want to chat with us or comment on those any of the stories we put up on the Facebook page, like those Batman pictures or Channing Tatum's Gambit or anything else that goes up on there. Twitter.com/EVAction. You can find us on Tumblr, everythingaction.tumblr.com. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action in iTunes. And you can subscribe, rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews on there. You can also get our app on there for your iPhone or iPod Touch. You can also find us on Stitcher.com. You can stream us or download us from there and just search for Everything Action on Stitcher, and you can review us on there as well. I think that's it. So for Joe and Chris, I am Zach, and we'll see you next week.